Tonight is the last night of 1995. I want to ask you to open your Bible to the last book of the New Testament, the last book of the Bible. And by the way, there will be no more books in the Bible. God has finished His revelation. The Bible is absolute. The Bible is final. The Bible is complete. The Bible is inspired. The Bible is infallible. The Bible is inerrant. The Bible is indestructive. The Bible is impeccable, absolutely perfect, preserved for us in, as they have said tonight, 1611 King James Version, that we believe to be the infallible, preserved, perfect Word of God. To the last book, chapter number 10, I'm going to read beginning at verse number 1. I'm going to ask that you stand with me in honor of the reading of God's Word. Revelation chapter 10, beginning at verse 1, after we pray. And now, Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for what we've already experienced from the first note of the first song right to this very moment, the testimonies. I pray, dear God, tonight You would bless Angela Cook and Jennifer Cook and William Petty and Darren Coker and Kevin Knight and Michael Aguilar. I pray that You would bless all of the Norris students, all of these young people, the youth pastor, all of the professors at the school, the administrator, all of those who are giving their lives to train young men and women to go out and change the world. Dear God, we can see in the future, as Jesus tarries His coming, an impact that these young people can make, not only on America, but on countries around the world. May we never forget that while we are here, enjoying in our own English language the reading and quotation of the Word of God, that there are more than 3,000 languages where not one single word of this book has ever been translated. How we thank Thee for the burden that Jennifer gave us to go and be a translator, to translate the Bible into other languages. What a marvelous ministry. And for all of these others, whatever You have for them, we thank You for them. We thank You for the bus workers that made it possible for Michael to come on a bus and hear the Word of God and be saved and be baptized in this church. Thank You for the others who have come in other ways and for everything that You are doing. And as we close out this year and look forward to 1996, may we do so with a positive outlook, with an upbeat attitude that Jesus Christ is alive and the church is well and happy, and we're going to move forward in 1996 to do a great work for Christ, to win more souls, to baptize more people, to teach and train more people in the ways of the Lord. I pray that You would bless this last organized service of 1995. Speak to us from the pages of Your Word. Anoint our lips that we might speak boldly, unapologetically, with the authority of God, the Word of God, to the people of God, and for those who may not know Jesus Christ as Savior, on this last night of this year, may they make things well in their hearts as they repent of their sins, as they believe the Lord Jesus Christ died for them, was buried, rose again, and can and will and is able to save them. Unto them that believe on Him and call upon Him, You said He would save. And I thank You that You are in the saving business and that You save all men. You love all men of every race, of every nationality. We thank You for what we've experienced. And now as the Word of God is open in the last moments of this service and then the coming around the table of the Lord, I pray, dear God, please charge us, challenge us, change us, realign us, reassign us, recommission us, restation us, refurbish us, re-empower us with the authority of God's Word as we close out 1995 and look forward to a new year in just a little while. In Jesus' name we ask it. With thanksgiving we pray. Amen. Amen. Revelation chapter 10, verse number 1. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open. And he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants, the prophets. Thank you, and please be seated. Who is this mighty angel? None other, I believe, than the Lord Jesus Christ, who could set one foot on the sea and another foot on the earth, and raise his hand to heaven and declare and swear by God, who liveth forever, that time shall no longer be on earth. Nobody but the Son of God, who made all things. By him were all things made, and without him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. I'm happy to tell you tonight that God is, and all is well. Man cannot comprehend the ways of God. Paul said in Romans chapter 11 at verse 33, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his ways and his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of God? Or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him that it should be recompensed unto him again? For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever and ever. God is controlling the universe. God knows where our boys are in Bosnia tonight, and we ought to pray for the service people. He knows about what's going on in Washington, and God have mercy if something doesn't happen to turn this country around. I'm asking that God will raise up more young men like these to go out and evangelize and preach against sin and preach righteousness and truth and sobriety and honesty in government, in life, in business, and that God will change America. Somebody said, well, preach, is it too late? No, I don't believe it's too late. I believe the same God, the same Jesus Christ, the same Holy Spirit that spoke all of the worlds into existence, who started the church, who gave himself for it, I believe he's able to revive America tonight. I believe if America will come apart on her knees and repent of her sins, that God will have mercy and God will save America. May God help us as individuals, as Christians, to understand that God is in control. Nothing is happening accidentally to God. God isn't surprised about what's happening in Washington or in Moscow or in China or India or across the sea in your life and mine. No, because God has it all in his control. And we don't always understand the ways of the Lord. But I'm glad even when we can't track him, we can just trust him. William Cooper said, God works in mysterious ways his wonders to perform. He plants his feet upon the shore and rides upon the storm. Oh, God is so great, and God is so powerful, and God is so good, and God is so mindful of us tonight, he will not let one thing happen in your life and mine but what he knows about it, and he ordains it, and he will see it through. It is the goodness and grace of God that has brought salvation to Adam's fallen race. chapter 2 in Titus, verse 11. For the grace of God which bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, godly, righteously in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. God has given man ample time and opportunity to repent. Nobody in this congregation can stand before God tomorrow or 5 years from now or 10 years from now and say, I never knew that it was wrong to be a sinner. Or I never knew the way to heaven. I never knew the way to be saved. No man can stand before God out of this congregation and say he didn't know or he hadn't heard the truth, because you've already heard it. God does not want anybody to go to hell. God does not want anybody to perish. In fact, He did not set hell as it is. He did not prepare hell for people. Now listen to this and turn with me to Matthew chapter 25 and verse 41. And let me give you what God says about it. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 41 says, and I'm going to read it to you. God did not, I repeat, God did not create hell for humankind. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, watch it now, prepared for the devil and his angels. God prepared destruction for the devil and his angels, not for you, not for me. God is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It's God's will that all men be saved. It is not God's will that any should perish. As I live, saith the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die? I ask you, why will you die when the sheltering rock is so nearby? Jesus Christ is ever waiting and ready and able to save to the uttermost all that come to God by him. The curtain of time is about to be drawn, and the time is coming when time will be no more on this earth. Remember, Jesus said, as he raised his hand toward heaven and swore by God with one foot on the ocean and one foot on the shore, and said, there shall be time no longer. Somebody said, well, now, Pastor, you don't really believe the book of the Revelation is literal, do you? I certainly do. I believe all the Bible is literal. I believe all the Bible is true. I believe all the Bible is inspired. I believe we ought to do our best to live by every verse in it, because God has spoken, and what God says is absolute and true, and God's timeless word tells us what we need to know about every subject that we need to know about. I want to speak to you for a few moments now from the subject, last things. It is 7:36, Central Standard Time. As I said this morning, in all the 24 time zones of the world, it's later than you think. Time is running out. We're coming to the end of 1995. All of the promises that we made, all the commitments, all the resolutions, we can't go back and change them. But aren't you glad God doesn't consult our past when he gets ready to chart our future? Isn't God good? And just sort of wiping it all out. Your sins are forgiven. Cast into the lake, to the ocean, to the depths of the sea, behind the back of God, never to remember them against us anymore. Last things. Number one, the last enemy. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20 says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ Jesus, we're of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and all power, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. And the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. That's the last enemy that you and I have. By the way, the undertaker will be the last friend to let you down. Isn't that good? But you know, we don't have to fear death. Death isn't the end. Death is an entrance. It's the coronation day. It's the crowning day. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And that old enemy that has taken the little babies out of your home and taken your mother and father and brother and sister, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Second last thing, the last trumpet. Also in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning at verse 51, Paul says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying which is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God, who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Last trumpet. When that trumpet sounds, I want to say something to you tonight. You better be ready to go up. Last trumpet. Number three, I see the last days we're living in them. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter, the third chapter. Peter describes something about the last days. And he says about them that they are coming upon the world. Verse 1 says, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this," now watch it, "knowing this, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of." Now watch it, "that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, wherein the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. One day is with the Lord as 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is as a day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." One day as 1,000 years. 1,000 years as a day. Peter says, in the last days, mockers, scoffers, agnostics, unbelievers, doubters will come, and they'll ask the question, "Well, where is the sign? Where is the coming of Christ? We've heard this all of our lives." But wait a minute. I call your attention again to verse number 8. One day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Now, Jesus has been back home 2,000 years, roughly. 2 days. 2 days. And would you know that many exciting things happen on the third day? One of the most exciting things that ever happened on a third day was when Jesus rose up from the grave. He's been gone home 2 days, maybe the third day. Oh, Lord Jesus, how long do we shout the glad song? Christ returneth, hallelujah, hallelujah, amen. He's coming. He's coming. These are the last days. I see another last thing. The last times. 1 John chapter, just over a few pages. 1 John chapter number 2. I want you to look at verses 18 and 19. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18 says, "Little children, it is the last time. It is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, spirits of Antichrist out there, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they no doubt would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us." Last time, last days, closing days. This is the last day of 1995. It could well be the last day of your life or mine. Then I see the last invitation in Revelation 22:17, "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. Let him take of the water of life freely." Last invitation. Come. Come now, let us reason together. Come, for all things are now ready. And then I see, lastly, you wanted if I'd ever get there, didn't you? I see the last promise in the Bible. And guess what it is? Revelation 22 and verse 20, Jesus said, "Behold, I come quickly." I'm coming, Jesus said. This is my last promise to you. "He that testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly." Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. This is the last day of 1995. This is my last call, my last invitation of this year. I call you to prayer. I call you to dedication tonight. May we stand, please, for our last invitation of this last day of this year. Heavenly Father, speak to our hearts tonight. You have spoken through your servant. You have spoken through the young people, the students, those that have given their lives in dedication to Christ. And the pastor has opened the Bible and given a few words about the last opportunities, the last call, the last enemy, the last days, the last invitation. Let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And then, Father, we thank you for the very last promise. I come quickly. Father, I pray tonight, if there's one in this house who's not ready for your return, if there's one who's not ready for the coming of Christ, I pray that they would come. If there are those, dear Lord, who need to come and have an examination of their lives by the Holy Spirit, reflecting back over 1995, maybe some habit or sin or bad attitude or unkind thought against a fellow Christian, maybe something that's missing in their lives and they want to get that vacancy, that void filled. Maybe there's something in their lives that ought not to be there. They want to get it removed tonight. Put it on the altar. I pray the Holy Spirit would bring us all in this last invitation to prayer and dedication. In Jesus' name, for Jesus' sake.